Yeah, go ahead.
What do we do now?
I don't know, man. I'm still going over my notes for tonight's show. I was so excited because Dr. Scream's coming by tonight. The Scream Man going to be in the house.
I haven't even read, like, the news yet. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I just got it in.
Yeah.
And I'm going over it. And I mean, what time is it?
I don't know. I think we're late. I don't know if they'll notice or not because half our listeners don't listen anyhow.
It is the D&D show. They don't expect anybody to be on time. Who do they think we are anyway?
It must be Sunday night, man. I can smell it in the air. The mics are hot. We're back here in studio, little brother. What's going on?
You know, I'm just getting ready for another hot G&D show. It's the only thing hot going on here in New England right now.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Hey, before I forget, listeners around the world, thanks for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of your Ghostman and Demon Hunter radio show.
Huh? We need fantastic special effects like that every week.
We do. Hey, that intro music, huh?
Hey, think of it. We are now introduced by Midnight Syndicate.
Midnight Syndicate! If you guys don't know, Midnight Syndicate is through the roof. Now, these cats have been jazzing to this stuff for years, man. They do this, what is it, Demon? It's usually vampires, ghosts, paranormal. It's right up our alley. Strange and weird.
It's houses, spooky movies, video games, you name it. They do the music, and now... Not Your Savior, our opening theme song.
Not Your Savior. Guys, get in the chat room, let us know. Midnight Syndicate, special thanks to you guys. Let us know if you like that intro show, huh? The intro show, the intro music. I'm all off tonight.
I think our mics were hot a little early there, Sean.
Were they?
I think so. I think people heard us.
Well, I don't know how to run. I wonder how it would be if we started a radio show one day, you know? It'd be a good place to start one, yeah?
You never know. They might like it, turn it into a TV special.
That's it. But guys, we are back in studio. This is the one, the only Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. You thought you got rid of us for a while, but we're just like a bad dream. It will happen again. And we're coming back, Demon Hunter. It's been every other weekend right now. Everybody's been hanging with us.
They have.
And you have a little announcement, right?
Good news, folks. Come mid-March, I think it is, we decided, right, Sean?
Mid-March.
Ghostman and Demon Hunter show will be returning every Sunday.
Of course, Indiana makes it back to the Sweet 16, the Final Four, which they will. I'll have to cancel. We'll have to get a celebrity guest to host to take my place. Maybe we'll get Kermit from The Muppet Show. Yay!
We'll get the ghost of Edgar Allan Poe to come on. Of course, he can be a real downer at times.
You know... That's... Ooh. Hey, I was watching that.
The Demon Hunter gets... hate mail from Edgar Allan Poe fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I am a huge Edgar Allan Poe fan. Anybody who's listened to this show knows that.
Hey, did you ever talk to that guy about that guy that we were going to maybe do that thing?
That thing with the guy that one time? I'm still trying to find his direct email.
Okay, so we won't talk about that with the guys on the show.
No, not yet. It's just this guy about the guy with the thing about the guy that's going to do.
That's what we were going to do, guys. We were going to share the thing about the guy with the guy with the guy with you guys. So maybe next week. I don't know. Maybe. Something big, though. Right? It was going to be something big.
Hey, before we keep going on.
No.
Happy birthday to my mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
81 years old today.
Inconceivable.
Wow.
Inconceivable.
I know. Who would have ever thought that a woman of 81 could have had a 21-year-old son like myself?
Mm-hmm. She's 81 years old.
81 years old.
Mama Schoonover. Welcome to the age. She's probably like, shut up. I'm sure she's not awake right now. 81. She might be.
Actually, my mom, she's probably in church.
Sunday. I remember that back in the day. My folks used to go to Sunday morning and Sunday night church. I couldn't stand it because I wanted to go outside and play or watch Elvira on Sunday night. No, it wasn't Elvira. The funny shows would come on Sunday night. Elvira was Friday night and Sammy Terry. Mwah. You know, talking about Sammy Terry, I don't want to go into this for a long time. His son is now taking over. We talked about that, didn't we?
Wait a minute. Sammy Terry.
Yeah.
Rhett.
Don't be a moron.
rose up from the graveyard every week to do a show.
Do this show every week.
And now his son's doing it.
And they have passed the cow and makeup. They have sent it. The original ghoul has passed it on to his ghouly son. So I love it. I love the fact that the...
I don't remember a cow on the show.
The cowl. Cowl.
Oh, the cowl.
Yeah, you're funny. You like that, huh? You got that whole Connecticut prim and proper thing going. Remember, in the war. Yeah, I guess we fought on the same side, Indiana. So.
Yeah. Well, considering, you know, we were led by, you know, your congressman.
Yeah. That's true. Congressman whoever. So, hey, anyway, guys, that tonight's hit song, we're going to start playing it before the show, was Twang and Rao, the group Twang and Rao, good friends of mine, good friends of the show. They let us use their stuff. You can check out more about them at Reverb Nation. That's R-E-V-E-R-B, Reverb Nation. .com, guys, and that's Twangin' Round. Stick with them. This is a hot band. It's happening. I think it's called Bluegrass Rap, man.
Yeah, they're the guys that did that thing you told me about. That thing with
that
the
thing with the thing and the thing and the Octagon Hall, yeah.
Woo! Oh, the bell is back. Oh, yeah.
The bell is back. Couldn't find the fart machine, but I'm going through it, and sooner or later I'll find
not
it.
Not funny, funny, queer.
Yeah, I will.
I swear to God, I'm going to find a fart machine one day and send it to your kids and let them just follow you around all the time. And
you need to.
You're going to be on, like, an important interview talking to, like, Ted Koppel or something, and the kids are just going to be standing behind you going, wah, wah.
You know, you must, I told you, I think, earlier this week. No, I didn't. Sissy, my 3-year-old, she has started daycare. And we fought with that for weeks. And finally, she's down to the point where there's no problem. She'll go. Well, I mean, she gets grumpy in the morning like her dad, but she goes to daycare. Well, the boy, she's got two brothers, and I get the kids every other weekend, the boys. And Sissy's with me all the time. But the boys came over, and they were playing Mortal Kombat Annihilation or whatever. I don't know. So I messed that up.
Okay, moron.
See, I did that. I messed up there because I wanted to. But anyway, they were playing Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and she loves to do whatever they do, so she came in. And do you remember the old Mortal Kombat? Did you ever play them, Demon Hunter?
Oh, I played them in the arcade. Okay. Come over here.
Come over here. Remember at the end when the guy's barely moving, you got him beaten, it says, finish him! You can cut off his head and rip his spine out. Well, my son beats me on the game. He knows every move. And apparently when I'm standing there, I'm like, oh, you beat me good. And he goes, it ain't over. And then I hear, finish him! And he splits my head open with a knife, and he rips my spine out, and is standing there bloody, and Sissy starts laughing. And I thought, you know what? I didn't know she was in the room, but that's probably not good to have her see this kind of stuff. But who knows, man? We watch Walking Dead together. It's like a family affair.
Come and see the violence inherent in the system.
See the violence now. Step right up. But she's seen that, and
I'm being oppressed.
I got a call the other day. I got a call.
Yeah.
The phone rang. And she called me, and it was actually called her mother, and the daycare pit was on the other end, and said that Sissy had said that she was going to kill people with Daddy and her brothers. So, and she was going to kill them. So, that's bad, guys. Don't let your kids play Mortal Kombat. So, I got hollered at for a while.
I can imagine. I mean, this is not a day and age where people like that kind of thing.
Well, you know. No room for cowards. You need to know. That's another thing. We're getting into a society where, you know, they blame shoot-up games and all this stuff. I don't blame that. I blame people, period.
If you
don't,
I blame shoot-up games.
You blame shoot-up. Of course you would. Of course you would. You,
Pooh-ah!
What are you? You prude.
Pooh-ah! Pooh-ah!
You prude. So what else is going on, man? You got anything, tonight's guest. We didn't talk about that, man. The Midnight Madman. The Midnight Mad Men is what they used to call them. The American Spook Show, guys. It used to be huge in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. These guys used to travel all over the countryside. And the theaters back during the Depression and stuff like that, they didn't have money for the big movies and stuff. But when they got the movies, you know, for a spooky movie, whatever, wasn't that good, they would hire these guys. Literally, they called them the Midnight Mad Men. And they would travel the countryside, and they were like great magicians or not so great magicians, just crazy guys that lived out of their vehicles. Not crazy guys, but artists that weren't known artists at the time. And they would put on these spook shows, Demon Hunter. And I dig it, man. I wanted to do one here in Indiana. I was working on it, actually. That's how I met Dr. Scream. But these guys would travel around, and they were told to put on a show before the actual movie to get people in. And they would pack the house, man. They would have ghosts appearing before your eyes. And if you came and you could make it, you'd win a dead body at the end. It was great. And tonight, we have one of these cats, one of the only ones, that's left, that's carrying on this great American tradition. Dr. Scream in the house tonight, guys, live from the Spook Show Revival.
Oh, my.
Huh?
And we can't, they used to travel around, get paid to show up before a movie, and we can't get somebody to give us plane fare.
Yeah, and we had an international TV show, and we couldn't even get syndicated. So, you know, or at least yet. So, that's... Huh?
I'm just bitter and old. What can I say?
I'm bitter and old, too. I am. But
you remember the first week we came back, Sean, I read the article about how in the Middle East they were doing mustache implants.
Yeah, yeah. Or does this mean that we're going into the news segment?
Not yet. I was going to talk about something that happened this week. On a dare, I started growing in a handlebar mustache.
Wish I had a handlebar mustache.
Yes. And but I started growing it in, and somebody at work yesterday told me they had mustache envy.
Oh, I didn't know you could get that. I knew there was
another. I did not know that people got mustache envy, but apparently that goes back to a story we read over about last month, where in the Middle East, they are putting in, people are getting mustache implants because of mustache envy.
Right.
So I found it very interesting that something we talked about right here on this show directly affected my life.
Yeah, well, it happens. It happens.
So you're going to start downloading sounds to play during the things you say.
Hey, so you're going to actually grow a full handlebar mustache.
I'm working on it.
A full... healthy handlebar mustache.
If you can walk around with that chin curtain trying to look like Abe Lincoln.
Hey, I don't look like him. I am. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. It's a way of life and we like it. That's it, guys. G&D in the news, guys. The round the world news. We get it from the G&D vaults. It's exciting. It's hot. It's right now.
Sent us this week from New York News 4.
Uh-huh.
Goat runs loose in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Okay, apparently a security guard working at the Interfaith Medical Center in Bedford helped police control a goat that went loose near the Brooklyn Hospital early on Thursday. Authorities are not sure where the goat came from, but the goat was taken to an animal shelter. Not incredibly weird news, folks, unless you're from the New York area and realize that goats don't usually run around in Brooklyn.
Now, what part was that of New York?
In Brooklyn, New York. You know that bridge I tried to sell you.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Bridge, yeah.
Right. Well, apparently a goat was just running loose in the hospital parking lot.
Okay.
And I've seen the video. This thing is like, has horns that you'd see on a mountain ram. It's huge.
Well, it would have to have pretty big horns to make it in New York, right? If you make it here, you make it anywhere.
It'd be able to stand up to those street gangs.
That's it. Do you think that was a new gang?
I get a lot of calls from police and stuff regarding this kind of stuff because, you know, usually when there's a goat around or something like that, they assume it has something to do with Santeria or voodoo. But this time, the goat was alive.
Santeria.
Did they put it down? It was alive. And I saw the video. It's a huge goat. But I felt bad for the goat at the end because having grown up on a farm, anybody knows if you get the goat by the horns, literally the term grab the goat by the horns, they stop. They don't run. They don't do anything. They just kind of shake their heads back and forth.
Yeah.
These guys literally hog-tied this poor animal and carried it away.
Now we're getting too deep in the story. We hog-tied the ram, the goat. You sure it wasn't a ram?
Well...
Is it the hospital? No.
It might have been a buck, but it wasn't a ram.
Because people in New York wouldn't know the difference. It could be a deer. They wouldn't know. Hey, I got to know. Cat survives 35-minute cycle in the washing machine. Yeah. Here it is. You ready for it? It's not an awkward any pet lover would... I'm sorry. It's not an award any pet lover would be proud of.
Get a drink, folks.
That's it. Drink it up, guys. And if you're fascinated about not mixing your darks and your lights, you probably have a conniption fit. But like it or not, Daryl Humdy, that's his real name, guys, of Oakland, has been awarded the top prize by a pet insurance company after his Siberian forest cat, Natasha, accidentally went through an entire wash cycle that lasted 35 minutes. Catastrophe. Catastrophe.
My cat, if I like leave it in the basement for 5 minutes, goes crazy. How could you not hear a cat scream?
Yeah, they'd be like, rah, rah. I wish I had that sound to put in. You can hear it when you put your wallet in there, you know? But it says the six-month-old feline did suffer severe hypothermia and a trip to the emergency animal hospital, earning Natasha the most unusual claim award by the Brie-based veterinary pet insurance. The company bills itself as the oldest and largest pet insurance provider in the country.
Now, I would like to point out...
I would like to add that that was one wet...
John, first, do not represent those Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Now, that was wet. Wow!
Now, I would like to point out that we are not recommending that anyone try to break this record.
No.
It's definitely not a record we want to see broken.
Don't put your kitty in the washing machine. Unless, of course, it needs it.
Well, apparently, Sean, news came to us from the UK, the HuffPost tech, the United Kingdom, that the Mars rover has spotted a metallic arm sticking out of a rock.
Okay.
There's another weird thing on Mars, and NASA really doesn't know what it is this time. So you may remember the $2.5 billion rover currently drilling rocks on the red planet, already found strange shiny things, and what was late might be Martian flowers.
Martian flowers.
Yep, that's what they're labeling them anyway. But if there's anything that could be weirder, an image posted by NASA on January 30th was taken with the right mast cam on the... I'm going to just jump over that so you don't have to drink.
You're going to mess it up.
I don't even know what that word is, folks. Never mind. That appears to be a 0.5 centimeter metallic spoke protruding out of a rock. Yeah. You try reading this one. Next time you get to read the one from...
Pip and the Guinea.
But the strange sight, which looks like a bit of a robot arm, was noticed when they were doing the imaging of the different photos. Whatever looks shiny casts a shadow on the rock below, so it looks different on the rock.
Okay.
Universe Today specialists that it... oh, I'm sorry. Okay, folks, have a drink.
The Universe... Chug it! Have one! I've already finished three or four of them!
Today speculates that it might be a different type of rock, more resistant to the erosion. Uh-huh. So, is it a robot arm or just another rock? What do you think? Are you convinced that there's proof that there's life on Mars or just another boring thing built in the rocks? So,
it's life on Mars.
It honestly, to me, I'm looking at the photos. It does look like there was some kind of metal or a tougher rock already in the I guess it might be an ore of some kind, I don't know, but it doesn't look like a robot arm to me, Sean. But what do you think, life on Mars?
I would say at one time there was probably life on a lot of the planets out there, just in our solar system. I would say that.
Really?
At one form or another, insects, whatever, something. Some form of life.
Mars, maybe, but outside of Mars, I wouldn't give it any, maybe a million years ago, 10 million years ago, who knows, but I don't.
That's what I'm saying, at one time. It could be even further back than a million years ago.
I don't think so. I think the universe rotates around the Earth.
You're wrong. Moving on. Accused. I know, you're wrong. Accused witch tortured demon hunter burned alive in Papua New Guinea. Is it Papua New Guinea?
Papua New Guinea.
I like Papua. Papua!
Of course you do.
Papua New Guinea. They got another one there, demon hunter. We read a couple of these things. If you're a witch or into witchcraft, guys, here's something for you. Get out of New Guinea. All right? You heard it here first on the G&D show. Leave New Guinea. Come to America where you're treasured and you can live in Salem and have a happy, healthy life. Okay?
And here, sell at the tourist traps.
That's it. Assailant stripped and tortured and bound a woman accused of witchcraft, then burned her alive in front of hundreds of witnesses in Papua New Guinea. Police said Friday after one of the highest profile sorcery related murders in the South Pacific Island nation. Some of the hundreds of bystanders took photographs of Wednesday's brutal slaying. Grisly pictures were published on the front pages of the country's biggest circulating newspaper, the National Post Courier. The prime minister, police, and diplomats condemned the killing. Kapari Lenetti, drink up, guys, a 20-year-old who had a child, had been accused of sorcery by relatives of a 6-year-old boy who died in the hospital the day before. Police spokesman Dominic Cassis said she was tortured with a hot iron rod, bound, doused in the gasoline, then set alight on a pile of car tires and trash in the Western Highlands provincial capital of Mount Hagen, Cassis said. I didn't read that right. I trashed that story. Well, that's just sad, man. That's sad.
You know what? It's tough to be on the G&D show because I had a lot of great Monty Python jokes to do here, but I can't even do it. That's just too sad.
It is too sad. But guys, take our advice, please. If you're into witchcraft, sorcery, whatever, if you even like Harry Potter, get out of New Guinea. There's no reason in taking the risk, man. You know? Plus, if you like porno, I don't think they look highly. If they're killing witches, they'll probably kill somebody that likes pornographic material, too, Demon Hunter. So you're not safe at all.
Yes, because they'll think your collection belongs to me.
That's true. And then nobody's safe. Huh?
They're going to start asking people, do you listen to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show in New Guinea? And if they say yes, it's on the fire.
So that's G&D, guys, in the news.
So Ghost Man and Demon Hunter fans, stay out of New Guinea. We can't afford to lose a single fan.
Yeah, and we can't bail you guys out. We don't have the money because nobody's paying us.
Yeah.
We're broke. We say that every week.
Yeah. Well, it's true. We're broke. What do you want? I like we're lying about it.
Okay, guys. Demon Hunter, what do you think? Short break. Bring in the professor.
Well, before we go to the professor, can I just read this one last article that I found specifically for you, Sean?
Yeah. Do I need to go back to the news reel? Because I've changed.
No. I can just read this one really fast. Russian alcohol crackdown topples monument to vodka.
Oh, we're at war.
It comes from Reuters. A Russian monument of a bottle of vodka has been toppled over due to fears that it could be seen as an illegal advert for the country's favorite tipple.
Ooh.
I was trying to figure out what tipple means.
What is tipple?
The 3-meter metallic statue has become a local landmark.
Okay.
In a town of 100,000 kilometers east of Moscow. But residents woke up this morning and... One morning last week, to discover...
Hey, I got to go to work next week.
It had disappeared, leaving only an empty plinth. Okay? I'm not lying about that one.
I went to work in the morning of last week.
The bottles fell... You know what? Never mind. I was going to read it for you. I thought it was a nice short article, and because I thought it'd be funny to read for Sean Burris. I'm looking at it now. It's like 2 pages about a 3-meter statue of vodka that got knocked over.
Do your homework, for God's sakes.
Well, you know, I told you at the beginning of the show I hadn't read anything. I mean...
It's true. It's the Muppet Show! We're the Muppet Show of the strange and weird. You know, I don't think there's any other show out there like us, Demon Hunter.
Nobody's willing to make such fools of themselves.
I know.
Sean, let's take a break.
Maybe we should be serious. Hey, we didn't do the rot. We got 4 minutes. You want to do the...
Oh, let's do the rot.
This is the new edition, Demon Hunter. Explain it to everybody.
Well, since, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't noticed, we're no longer on at 9 p.m. in the evening. We're on at 7 p.m. Why? So that we can catch The Walking Dead.
Arr.
So tonight's new segment is where Sean and I discuss what we think is going to happen next on The Walking Dead.
Rock Talk! G&D! Rot talk. I didn't have a chance to pre-record that.
Rot talk.
You hear this, Bobby?
Rot, folks, as in falling off the bone.
Yeah, like R-O-T, right? Rot. Rot talk. But each week, Demon Hunter had this idea, since we love The Walking Dead, to come up with a segment where we could talk about what's going to happen this week and tonight. And tonight's a big one. Because
now,
it's the second half of the season.
Folks, there are no spoiler alerts to the upcoming shows, since we don't know what's going to happen. But we may mention things that have happened in past episodes. So if you're listening to this on archives and you haven't gotten to see this week's episode, or you've missed a few of the old episodes, you may want to fast forward 4 minutes here, because we're going to talk about some stuff that may have already happened.
It may have happened already.
Yes.
You want to lead us off with it or what?
Well, as we all know, Sean, and here's that spoiler alert for you folks, ended the last episode of last season, or mid-season.
Yes.
The two brothers, Daryl and what's Daryl's brother?
Merle!
We're going to be facing down against each other in a fight to the death.
Because
the governor had declared it. So now we have to figure out, Sean, who is going to survive this? Well, we've already seen the commercials for the upcoming week.
Yeah, we did see it, but it said, I see the advertisement on Facebook, it said, two brothers go in, one comes out. Huh?
Yeah, so well, you know, it's a, the question really has to be, is a brother going to sacrifice himself for another brother?
I don't know.
I mean, we call each other brother all the time, Sean, and would you sacrifice yourself so that I could walk out alive?
I would actually, because here's the deal. Because the zombies have no teeth in that fighting ring, they pull their teeth out. Mm-hmm. I would let a zombie grab you. You would act like you had fell down dead. Then the only person that would know about it is the governor, that weirdo. So what would happen is everybody thought you were attacked and killed by zombies. And then when you resurrected, I would grab one of those loop things and put it around your neck like they do with dogs and stuff, and I would lead you out. They would get in the car and go away and go out drinking somewhere. That's my plan.
I see. That's your plan. And what if they put a bullet in my head after I went down?
Well, then there is no plan B, brother. Then I look like I'm
you
doing
are no friend.
Looks
I
like
tell
I'm
you
doing a one-host show at that point. No, but I think it's going to be good, man. I'm really excited. You got Chris from the AMC Talking Dead. He comes on after, guys. This is a huge thing. The Walking Dead has become real big, and rightfully so. Demon Hunter, because it's an amazing TV series, and it gets people involved, and we love it all the time. We knew we wouldn't be competing against you guys, or competing with you guys for your time for The Walking Dead, so that's why we came on early, because we want to see it. And let's just say in the future, we don't want to make any of our guests have to compete for their own show. I don't know.
Yes, this is true. Now, the question, Sean, that's on everybody's lips is, because they don't seem to have any feeling for who gets killed on the show.
Yeah.
Now, we know Rick's not going to die, but who do you think's going to be the next person to die on the show?
I told you, Merle.
You think? Well, I mean, of the team, the prison team.
Oh, wow, I don't know, because we could keep them all right now, as long as Rick's wife's gone. She was annoying. She was annoying.
Yeah,
God.
People were sitting there going, she's giving mouth-to-mouth to a guy who was just bitten by a zombie.
A zombie.
Somebody shoot this woman.
The governor needs to go. The governor needs to go. But I like him because you get to see more naked side boob shots of, what's her name? The blonde-haired chick? So, because she's with him now. I mean, what's the story with her, guys? I mean, she slept with everybody. I love it. Zombie apocalypse happens. Apparently, it's a huge panty dropper.
And she doesn't get pregnant once.
Not once.
Lori screws around with one guy. Oop, no, I might have to record. Okay, that's at 1:36. I got to leave that out.
You can't say that?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
It's not like we're doing a Disney production here, man.
We may have to bleep that out. I don't think we're allowed to say Disney.
Oh, I don't know.
But, you know, she has sex with one guy, and suddenly she's knocked up. I mean, what's going on here?
She has intercourse. No, she had sex with, or had intercourse with two guys. Remember, that was the big thing. She didn't know if it was Shane's baby.
She didn't know who the father was.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sean, I think that's all we can talk about this week about the upcoming Walking Dead. We want to be done in time to watch The Walking Dead.
That's true, and we're running over a true Ghostman and Demon Hunter show fashion, but tonight we're getting out of here, guys, at 8:45. Mark your calendar, mark your clocks tonight, because if we run over like we probably will, you have to let us know. Get in the chat room. Get on Twitter. Let your friends know that we are live in the G&D Show studio, and we're going to be here till 8:45 tonight. And we got, up next, Demon Hunter,
the Professor Slim King.
The Professor Slim King. You made some pretty cool predictions last week. We're going to find out how it happened, guys, from New Orleans, right, when they had the Super Bowl there. So we're going to take a break. We're going to play the songs that you heard at the beginning of the show, of course, because we want to. Twangin' Round is the band this week that we are showcasing, guys. Each week we're going to try to showcase a new band, and you can find out more about Twangin' Round at ReverbNation.com. That's ReverbNation.com, guys. We'll be right back with the Professor Slim King. Then a little later, Dr. Scream stops by. We talk behind the scenes of the Great American Spook Show. Stay tuned, everybody. We are back live in studio, guys. Welcome back. That course was Twangin' Round, our group that we're showcasing tonight, guys. You can check out more ReverbNation.com. That's Twangin' Round. But welcome back, Demon Hunter.
Oh, you think? I got to I forgot to mention that I am smoking in my pipe this evening. My tobacco of the week is Rainy Day by Ashton, which I got at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium.
Buttheads! We got to get some money off those cats, man. We have been saying Buttheads since we started this freaking show. You know it?
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that they give me the best tobacco in the area, even though I pay for it, it's...
Right. Now, tonight, to start up our all-star lineup, we have our return buddy to the show, the foremost authority in the world of the strange and weird, the big name, the big man...
See now, the official guardian of the Devil's Chair, the Professor Slim King!
Professor Slim King in the house, everybody! Woo!
How's it going, guys?
Woo! I'm about
it's going, it's going, and then it goes a little longer.
Yeah,
and
I'm about four Sam Adams Boston Lager in right now, guys. I'm going to finish this.
Oh boy, I've got up to my Sailor Jerry's again.
Woo!
Boy, it's good.
Oh my God, you know, Sailor Jerry!
I was introduced to Sailor Jerry's down in Narlands.
Narlands, yeah.
It was the first place time I'd ever gone into a drugstore to buy booze was in New Orleans. And I was really surprised that they had the champagne right next to the children's coronation, or not coronation, but, you know, the children's birthday parties car.
Oh, one's for the parents and one's
for the parents. We should be down there right now. Mardi Gras happening.
That's right. It's Mardi Gras.
It is Mardi Gras.
Oh, yeah, that's Mardi Gras down there, big time on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yes, Will.
Yeah, I've got some friends down there. They're hanging out, ready to whoop it up.
I bet they are. You going down there, Professor?
No, I'm not. It's up from here, but no, I'm not headed up there. It's too dangerous for me, man. You don't want to turn me loose, you know, in Narland.
You throw us down there, none of us are coming back. Could you predict what would happen if we all three went down there for Mardi Gras? I could.
Well... I would predict that we would need a lot of bail money.
Maybe we could get our cheap butt listeners to send in $1 each, and we'd have
$10.
Yeah, $12.50.
We'd have enough. Yeah, we could get a hurricane, and we could all split it with three straws.
I will tell all our fans now: if you get the chance to go to New Orleans and you get to the end of Bourbon Street. And you have the opportunity to buy something called a hand grenade.
Ooh,
don't do it.
Don't do it. Or a hurricane.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. I'll tell you. Yes, it is true. It has more alcohol in it than any drink served on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
But it is sickeningly sweet.
Because if you drink that, hopefully you like Bourbon Street, because you'll wake up 2 days later right on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
Last time we went down there to film the show, we were looking for the Rue Guru.
That's right.
The Rue. Well,
we were doing that on our own. We went down there to film the voodoo scene, and we were like, well, why we're here? Why don't we look for the Rue Guru? And...
Mm-hmm.
In typical Hollywood fashion, they cut all that out.
Hey, why don't we tell people what the Rougarou is?
The Rougarou is a skinwalker, the Native American combination of the Rouga with the French Canadian. I messed that up.
It was French Canadian Creole.
Well, the French Canadian version of the Rouga with the Native American skinwalker, which you get the Rougarou from.
Yeah,
but it's basically a werewolf Bigfoot / skinwalker guy who runs around New Orleans. And last time I was down there, the only pictures I got of the Rougarou were of a purple one standing on Bourbon Street.
So, and nobody
of course,
else can see it.
Very blurry, like any Bigfoot picture.
Nobody else could see it. Yeah,
I was the only one who saw it. Yeah.
Now is that?
They're gonna find out that Bigfoot is blurry. He's just blurry.
See, that's what he is. Did they make that song, Professor, after Rougarou? What's that? Ooga, Rouga, Rouga, Ooga. Hooked on
a feeling.
I liked it. All right, Professor. This is your moment, man. This is the time and the spot.
All right.
Last time you were here, you made some killer predictions. It's all yours, Professor.
We all made predictions. We used the thought dial. We used a paranormal divination method by Sidney O'Mara called the thought dial. And I thought dialed both of you, And it was 2 weeks ago, and both of you, we were going to decide who was going to win the Super Bowl, all right? That's the big question of the day.
Who's
going to
do it?
And both of you, regardless of whatever your thoughts were, both of you said that the thought that I was telling you the Ravens were going to win, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And then there were other people listening into the show, and I think I gave out my email or contact information. And we ended up with seven people that were thought dialed over the course of the next 48 hours or something that called in.
Didn't
and
you?
Every one of them picked the Ravens through the thought dial.
Now, is that because of the thought dial or just because Sean and I have such a huge influence on our listeners?
Influence.
Well, I'm not certain if what it is. It could be. There's a bunch of different ways to analyze it, but you certainly don't have the influence on me, and I did it. And I came up. I came up with the Ravens.
I'm your hero.
And it was amazing because the odds, the Ravens, only one out of three people would normally pick the Ravens to win. So when you have seven out of seven, and only seven, you know, called in. So seven out of seven of us all picking the Ravens, that's over 2,000 to one, just the odds of that happening and then them winning.
Bam, bam!
Hoo-ah!
Now, that's enough. That's enough. The James Randi Educational Foundation, the $1 million paranormal challenge.
Yeah.
The final challenge is only 1,000 to one.
Uh-huh.
So we beat those odds. We beat those odds. And I also...
Where's our money?
We beat those odds in 2010.
Where's our money at?
Well, James, I think that thing's kind of rigged. I mean, I don't think he'll let, I'm the guy that they won't let take the challenge. They refuse to challenge me for $1 million.
And let's remind people there, Professor, that at the very end of that, I said the thought dial was pushing me to three as well, and so I said that the Ravens were going to win by three.
No,
oh, really?
Get out, man.
That we said that right on the air that we're going to win by 3 points because the thought dial was pushing me to the number three.
The number three, wow. Pushing him.
Well, it was amazing, and I'm telling you, it happened on your show, live on your show.
Better believe it.
And the odds against that, it's a paranormal event that you guys have documented that will be in your archives forever.
And just another thing, Professor, the lights went out. Let's not forget that. First time in Super Bowl history, half the side of the stadium lights went out. I think it was voodoo magic sent from the G&D show and the Professor's Limp Cake.
I think the possibility that we were concentrating so hard for the Ravens that we blew a fuse.
That's it. We blew
literally.
I blow a fuse all the time. It's and I don't even talk about the thing Sean blows.
See?
Oh, oh man! Don't even.
Don't get up, man.
That's terrible.
Hey, I've got a gig next week in Washington State where they legalized marijuana.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
So I don't know what to expect when I get there.
Well, remember,
just expect to have a good time.
Remember, Professor, that stuff affects the brain and your mental powers. You know, you don't want to affect those too much. It's
well, how do you think I got to where I am now?
That's it.
So I'm wondering if you went up there and did something that was totally legal, and then you came back to like Florida and they drug tested you, would that be is that illegal?
See, that's the kicker. That's the kicker. Even if the United States across says, "Hey man, toke it up, brother. Hey, no problem," because we all know alcohol does as much damage, if not more, than weed. But we're not in here to talk about that or anything else. But you know, if they do make it legal all the way across, that's fine because the liberals and all this stuff are going to step up that own these companies or whoever, and they're going to say, nope, that's not the Christian moral type ethics we want our employees
to. I think
you
mean the Republicans there, Sean.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Republicans, the big money. I'm sorry, I said liberals.
That's I think you probably get it on both sides. You know, there's probably people against it because, the corrupt people are making a lot of money with it, so they would never want it legalized.
Well, one of the things Sean and I noticed is if you work for a company that does not allow it to begin with, no matter even if it's legal, if they say that it would affect your job performance, you can't do it because if they test you and it shows up, even though it's legal, you're still breaking.
Isn't that wild? Didn't your wife write a book about Disney?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, she wrote a fictional tale set in Disney.
Oh, okay. Well, great. Well, because I know if they ever, you know, instituted any kind of drug testing in Disney, they'd probably lose about half their employees. Don't you think so?
Well, because half their employees are college students and the other half are the elderly who are down there specifically so they can earn some extra money on top of their Social Security. Aren't those the two groups that use it the most anyway?
Yeah, I would think so. Maybe I love Disney, and we all have annual passes, and we go off probably once a week.
Sure, rub it
so
in.
So jealous.
I remember when I was a kid, the first time I seen the actress dressed up like Cinderella, she floated across like a dream when I went to Disney World, and I remember feeling shameful in my pants. I didn't know what it was, but I seen her, and she was very pretty. And
oh, my God.
Hey, John.
Shameful in your pants.
Alakazoo, Alakazam, Alakabibbidi-Boo.
In the closet, just in case the opportunity ever arises.
Bibbidi-bobbidi-bibbidi-boo. Oh, how about that for a small world, the professor?
Oh, my goodness.
I probably shouldn't have said small. Talking about
I can't wait till you guys get down here. I've got it all set up. You guys come down and spend the weekend. We'll do a live broadcast from down here.
Ooh-ah.
Can we stop at Bubba Gump Shrimp Factory first? And
certainly can. We can do everything.
Bubba Gump. We could do that. Last time I went to Bubba Gump's, I had gone to Treasure Island, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I went across there, and that's total tourist. See, the professor's going to give us a inside look at the Magic Kingdom area.
There you go.
Right. And then there's some other things I can show you about another park that I can't really talk about. Yeah. But it has some haunted, people that I guess could ghosts live there? I don't know. Haunted ghosts living at certain attractions here in Florida.
Well, not that you're going to show us the Magic Kingdom. You're going to show us the area around it, which would be, you know.
Yeah, I'll show you some things.
Right.
I can't name them.
And the Devil's Chair. The Devil's Chair. I'm anxious to see this thing.
Yes, we should go to the Devil's Chair. I don't think I told you, but the last time I went up there, the entire place was locked up, and this was before 7 at night.
Maybe James
they locked
Randy,
the entire graveyard.
Maybe James Randy can predict if it's going to be locked next time, or you can...
Yeah, what?
I don't know. Maybe he paid him to have it locked, huh?
I don't know. I think James Randy's in a little trouble since the FBI arrested his roommate. So,
really?
I'm not really sure. And his roommate was the co-founder of the James Randy Educational Foundation. So I guess the guy is an illegal alien now.
Was it?
And
was
so the foundation...
Let's say alleged there. We don't want any...
No, he confessed to being an illegal alien down here in Florida. So I don't know what they're going to actually do to him, but I know that he stole an identity of someone else. And,
well, there goes that alleged right out the window. Huh? Allegedly.
Paranormal, that's all. It was paranormal.
We're allegedly a radio show, Professor. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. He allegedly confessed to allegedly stealing someone else's identity and using it for 20-some years.
So wait, they live together?
Identity theft actually made about him?
I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm anxious to see their, they have, a status that they're, a non-profit or not-for-profit status. But if that company was started by an illegal alien, or what would happen? Would they have to pay back taxes on that money? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But I think they take in about $1 million a year.
Ooh, that's why. Why does he need a roommate at $1 million? If he's got $1 million to cough up.
Yeah, they're splitting the rent, or no? They must be doing something. I'm not sure. I think they're partners in some.
I don't know why you could have that much money.
Need a
roommate. Bow to your sensei. By the way, guys, I had to get that in there tonight, Professor. I had to.
Bow to your sensei.
So, Professor, you have some Valentine information coming up for us.
Ooh.
Yes. Valentine's. If you guys want to, some of the listeners, And this is mostly for female listeners. If you'd like to have a paranormal reading, I'll let you ask one question. I have about 20 questions or so that you you can choose from.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll roll the dice, and we'll use an authentic gypsy paranormal reading that I got from a book that's over 100 years old. Almost everybody who, the guy who wrote the book, I think was, killed in the Second World War. It's an awesome, awesome book called The Zingara Fortune Teller. And I will give an authentic gypsy reading, but you just have to email me at floridajakeblues@gmail.com.
floridajakeblues@gmail.com.
Gmail!
Yes.
If they email you at that address, you will do an authentic gypsy love style reading for them.
Yes, because it's Valentine's Day is coming up. So I like to do a few of those readings, and I'll give them a choice of questions that they can ask. And then either they can roll the dice themselves, which is better, and then just tell me what they rolled, or I can roll the dice for them. Either way, they want to do it, and we can do it. And let's hope it's as successful as the Super Bowl, man. We knocked it out of the park.
That's it, man. And for you girls that just want a bedroom type Valentine's Day experience, paranormal experience, you can email ghostanddemon@gmail.com.
just your regular traditional bedroom.
That's
thing.
It. Yeah, you know, nothing. Well, it's paranormal.
You could wear a gypsy outfit.
Make your toes grow. I like that.
You'd have to grow that handlebar mustache, though, Sean.
I got the Abe Lincoln. Women find Abe very attractive, I found in history.
I haven't seen the new movie, but I heard it's good.
Yeah, it is good. I've seen it. It was amazing. Nathan sent me a poster of it for the office.
Oh,
for the studio. Yeah, he sent me a poster. And Daniel Day-Lewis, may I just say, Daniel Day, I know you're listening, sir. So I just want to say, what an actor you are. I hope you win all the Oscars, Grammys, whatever there is. You know he's listening. He's taking acting points from me. He's a big fan, I heard, of Extreme Paranormal. And he was cast, actually, in Lincoln after watching me on Extreme Paranormal. That's what I heard. That's a rumor, allegedly.
I didn't know that. See, allegedly. This is something that will probably show up on the Blu-ray.
Right. Now, Professor has taught me anything tonight. He's taught me that if I put allegedly in front of anything, I can say it and it's okay. I need to come up with something there. Like, allegedly, the professor's drinking rum right now. Allegedly.
Yeah, we can prove that one. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys, I'm setting up my own studio here. I just bought a new 22-channel mixing board. When you come on down here, if we don't go to Universal and broadcast, we can broadcast right here from my studio.
Nice. See, we have a nice, Sean, you have what, a good 6-channel mixing board? And
6?
And
try 3, buddy.
and I've got a 12, but 9 of the channels are broken. So
we've had that a while. It's been on a lot of tours.
Yes. In fact, didn't it originally, we broke the first channel on tour, I think.
I think we did. Yeah, I think he spilled beer on it or something.
Oh, yeah, it was me.
Blew it out.
Because I'm the big beer drinker.
Hey, Professor, a big thing after the show immediately following is going to be The Walking Dead for you. It's going to be an hour later after the show. What do you think is going to happen tonight? Any predictions for The Walking Dead episode tonight?
No, I have no predictions.
No predictions
for that. I have a blank. I drew a blank. I'm not going to try to BS you.
You're not picking up anything. That's okay. That's okay.
No, I got nothing.
The spirits have blocked your passage to tonight's episode.
But I can't wait. It sounds like everything's going good, and this is going to be a huge, huge year for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. This is the breakout year.
Well, you know, Professor, I understand that down in the area you're in, that zombies tend to appear every year around Halloween. Well,
I know that they shoot all kinds of zombie movies here. I have some friends who finance a few of them.
Nice.
So they've offered to put me in a couple, but I'm just kind of waiting.
You'd make a good zombie, Jake Blues kind of zombie, you know?
Yeah, I could be. I do a magic thing at some of the conventions down here called Zombie Magic, and it's I dress up like Jake Blues.
Now, what would a zombie sound like? What would a zombie sound like singing "Sweet Home Chicago"? Just kind of ooh, ooh.
Baby, don't you wanna go?
That's it. Yeah. Back to that same old place. Come on, come on, come on, Professor, give it to me.
No, Sean. The funny thing is, zombie magic is, you know, the zombie reaches down his sleeve, a pigeon appears, and then he bites the head off.
That's it. Now, come on, Professor. Come on, don't leave me hanging. I need to get this on tape from you. Ready? Ready? Back to that same old place.
And this is where the show apologizes to everyone.
And Nathan ruined it. Back to that same old place.
Sweet home, Chicago.
There you go. God damn it, dang, it was like pulling teeth.
I sang that earlier today. It was pretty good, I asked. Anybody here from Chicago? And there was only a few hundred people there, and nobody raised their hands. So I said, well, good, we're safe then.
I was going to say, I heard a couple gunshots earlier. Is anybody left here? That's terrible.
Come up here and save me.
That's terrible. Okay, I think that's it for the professor tonight, right, Demon Hunter?
Professor, throw out that email address one more time for the ladies so they can contact you for their Valentine reading.
FloridaJakeBlues@gmail.com. Just like it sounds. Florida Jake Blues, everything small case.
That's it. There you go.
That's it. Okay, guys, we're going to... What do you say, Professor?
To call in, I'll give you your love hookup and answer your love questions. All you ladies, just email me, and we'll have a great Valentine's Day.
Well, I just tell you, thank you for coming on last time, Professor. You knocked it out of the park once again. We all did. You showed us how
to channel. Yes, you did.
Yeah, you showed us how to channel that, and we knocked it out of the park. You predicted, sir. We all predicted the outcome of the Super Bowl, which is amazing. Randy Blandy, whoever, you blew him out of the park, sir. So congratulations. And I just want to tell you, we're getting ready to go to break. Nathan, you have anything to say, sir?
I do not.
Okay, guys. Next up, Dr. Scream, guys, from the Spook Show. He's one of the Midnight Madmen. He travels the country. He does the shows. We'll be up next with him, guys, live in studio, and we'll be playing Twangin' Round for you guys right now. Stay tuned. It's going to get hot. It's going to get wild. It's going to get wet. We'll be right back. We are back live, guys, in the G&D Show studios. Listeners around the world, thanks for hanging with us this long, everybody. Professor Slimke was on Demon Hunter just before.
You would have thought, Sean, that you were trying to get an audition there to be the next Elwood.
I was trying. I kept saying, to that same old place. And you guys kept going, huh? So when I play the archives back for everybody, they're going to say, why was that chubby ghost man guy sitting there singing Sweet Home Chicago? Nobody was joining him. I appreciate that, though. I appreciate
it. You know, I try. I really do.
It does. I do. I try real hard on the show, and I tell you. But tonight's guest, everybody, we're going to do this again. He is one of the last left original Midnight Madmen. Guys, he is keeping the history of the Midnight Spook Show alive. He travels around the country. He brings you the spooky, the weird, the strange, everything you've ever wanted, guys. We have him in the house for you tonight. That's right. He's here. Dr. Scream, everybody. Keith Strickney.
What's up, guys? How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, doctor?
I am calling in from the Hazel Park Bowl, home of the Hamtramck Singles Classic, where I have lovely ladies, including Devil Babes and Witch Babes, bringing me really nasty pizza and cold beer, and we're having a good time down here. What are you guys doing?
I don't know, doctor. See, I was just getting ready to say, I didn't hear bowling. No pins getting split. I heard, gentlemen, if you welcome to the third stage, Mandy. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not allowed to talk about that anymore.
But, Dr. Scream, thanks so much for coming on. Of course, we're talking to Keith Stickley, guys. He is Dr. Scream from Dr. Scream's Spook Show. And you are amazing, sir. You're one of the few guys left doing this, and you're bringing home an ancient art of America, American, how do you guys say that? Americana?
It's America's original haunted attraction, really. I mean, basically what the Spook Show is it's a magic show, it's a comedy show, and it's what started the haunted houses genre in the U.S. So if you like haunted houses in October and going around and checking all those out, thank your dead Ghostmaster or Spook Show performer, because that's basically what started out the whole thing. It's, we tour theaters, performing arts centers and stuff like that all over the country, mostly in September and October. And the show is a part magic show. It's kind of gory, you know, we cut girls up and blood and stuff squirts all over the audience, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah. And then after a bunch of that, all the lights go out, a bunch of glowing ghosts actually attack the audience in their seats, and then after that we show a great classic horror flick. It's a blast. I mean, we've shown everything from House on Haunted Hill, you know, Night of the Living Dead, which you guys are probably into. I know you guys are down with the zombie action. So, it's a hell of a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with it.
Right. Have you ever shown Last Man on Earth? Because it's my favorite movie of all time.
We have not. But, you know, I think with this year, we might be doing Plan 9 from Outer Space. I'm not sure. That's one of my favorites. I don't know why.
Worst movie of all time, yes.
Ed,
let me interject something like that. Because when I bring this up, I hear that all the time.
Do it, doctor.
If you watch that movie, okay, if you watch Plan 9 from Outer Space, and you think that that's the worst movie of all time, you've not watched enough crappy movies,
that's
okay?
Right.
No, is that a cinematic masterpiece right there?
I have to agree. Having worked in the publishing and movie business and having had to sit through Twilight movies, I got to say, it is not the worst movie.
We're getting sued. We're getting sued. Now we're bringing Dr. Scream down with us. Oh, no.
What are you guys up to tonight?
Piece of all time. I just said I had to sit through them.
No, you know, we had on before you, Dr. Scream, we had Professor Slim King. We got the professor and the doctor in the house tonight. I feel so undereducated. But we had Professor Slim King. Now, he does predictions all over the world. And he predicted the outcome of the Super Bowl. He did something. What was that called, Demon Hunter?
He did the thought, the thought dial.
The thought dial. It's some ancient gypsy or something kind of way of predicting stuff, and he predicted it. And he told a lot of our listeners to call in, and they predicted that the Ravens would win too. And then we were talking about the Super Bowl blackout and everything. We think that we caused that.
This guy called the Super Bowl blackout?
No, we did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you guys are way cooler than he is. I can already tell.
That's how it happens. That's how it happened. But, you know, I got
We were also talking about zombie magic, and since I know you do magic in your show, we're waiting for, like, a magician to make a pigeon appear on a show and then bite the head off.
Stop giving me ideas, guys. Stop giving me ideas. Come on now. I can't talk about next season. Come on now. No, we actually did that the first year, and Alice Cooper chewed the crap out of us. So,
I was going to say, Ozzy Osbourne would have popped you on that one or something, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
But for you guys just joining us, man, we got Keith Stickley from Dr. Scream's Spook Show. He is the original Dr. Scream in the house tonight, guys. And the show is amazing. And I called Keith, I'd say about 3 months ago, guys, and the Ghost Man was trying to start a show here in Indiana because I think it's an art that has been forgotten. And it's an amazing art form, and people need to try to bring this back. And the thing about it is you get all these people into the theater, and you have the blackout scenes and everything. I got the book, Dr. Scream, that you told me to go out and get.
Ghostmasters.
Ghostmasters, and it's amazing. I'd recommend it to anybody. But, you know, I have so many questions, and I don't know what you can answer and what you can't about putting on, you know, a show like does it tire you out? You're running around. You're going everywhere.
Well, you know, it's funny because here's how it basically started, man. I went to UNLV. I lived in Vegas for about 12 years. I went there right outside of high school. I'm from Detroit originally. And basically what happened is while I was out there, I got my degree in entertainment engineering, theater degree from UNLV. So, and I was doing magic shows. I get out of college, and I got an offer to go do a cruise ship. So I go do this cruise ship. And I'm doing like a one-man, just like comedy act, basically,
yeah.
With some magic thrown in. So I'm running around doing this and that. Then I started doing resorts down in Mexico and the Dominican Republic. I did that for a bunch of years. And I always had this thing in the back of my head, being a history junkie. I'm like, man, I really would like to do a spook show. And I learned about the spook show because my magic mentor, is a guy named Ron Bauer, who actually was a writer for Sony Motion Pictures and stuff in the early 80s. And wrote, he is the guy that basically started the entire Four Dummies book series with the first basic book that came out. It was like, I think it was called Easy Dawson, how to program DOS into a computer. But anyway, so this guy's totally awesome. His first job as a kid, okay, was as a boy assistant for Dr. Evil's Spook Show. Now, Dr. Evil was actually Philip Morris. Philip Morris was by far probably the last spooker to really do the classic tour year-round doing ghost shows. He's an awesome guy. He's still alive, good friend. He's really helped us with our show quite a bit. It's where we got most of the material from. And but anyway, I grew up hanging out with Ron, and he's telling me all these stories, these crazy stories about running from theater to theater, you know, big movie palaces at midnight through the South. He was from Memphis. And I was fascinated. I'm like, man, you guys really did this stuff? Like, this is insane. So a bunch of years went by, and, you know, Mark Walker's book, Ghostmasters, which I told you to get.
Right.
You mentioned already. I had that as a kid, you know, and I'm reading through it. I just like, this stuff is awesome. So basically what happened was, in 2003, the International Association of Haunted Attractions was having a party in conjunction with Transworld. Now, Transworld, I'm sure probably a lot of your listeners might have heard of Transworld. It's like a big convention for haunted houses.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's like where all the haunted houses buy their stuff. It's in Chicago a lot of times. They used to do one in Vegas on the West Coast. But anyway, they were doing it in Vegas in 2003. And so Philip Morris was coming to town, and the International Association of Haunted Attractions was throwing a party there. And I had owned a haunted house with a buddy of mine, Scott Alexander, and I had a friend who sat on the board of that organization, and she's like, she knew I was a magician, and she's like, we want to do something cool for our party. Well, you got any ideas? And the idea just popped into my head. I'm like, dude, it's a Halloween haunted house trade show. They want some sort of a show to have fun. Let's put on a spook show. So with some of Phil's help, my buddy Scott and I, we actually put together a spook show with a full blackout where the lights go out and attacks everybody, all that stuff. And we put it on, and we were shocked. People really liked it. People loved it. It was great. I, we had a captive audience, throw all house guys, whatever. I think Philip Morris even said at the party, he's like, hey, you know, all you haunted house guys, you like this? This is what put you know, us out of business, and you're what put us out of business, basically.
Yeah.
So anyway, fast forward a couple years, you know, I get married and all this stuff, you know, and settling down a little
bit.
Not really. Exactly. And so I'm like, man, this would be so fun. So my wife's finally like, look, dude, just do it. We have all the props, you know. And so we hooked up with a couple of producers and director friends, and we got the ball rolling and talked to some venues. And ended up booking it in a couple theaters. The first year was kind of, you know, it's kind of rough. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do, but we ended up doing it. So we booked a bunch of performing arts centers and theaters, and that's what we're doing. And we're going on our fourth or fifth year, something like that. And it's grown, and it's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of them are one nighters. You know, we show up at 2-3 in the afternoon. We set up a full evening show, backdrops, huge props, a buzzsaw, all this crazy crap. We do the show. At the end of the night, after the movie, we pack up the trailer. We'll drive 200-300 miles to the next place and do it again. And I wanted to find out, what was it like to see these guys actually do this stuff back in the day?
Oh.
And I realized the only way I was ever going to see that is if I did it. So I did it. That's how the whole thing came about.
So what you're saying is you no longer have a 9-to-5 job.
What I'm saying is for the month of September and October, I don't sleep.
That's amazing. I always wondered, when I was reading Ghostmasters, I always wondered, Keith, how it was back in the day with the original Midnight Madmen and how they toured the countrysides and they did this. Now, this was their only form of income, most of them, right?
Well, it's, you know, it's funny, man, because there was a couple of guys that basically had or produced shows. The major ghost show, you know, spook show producers, one of them was a guy named Kara Coom. He's this Polish guy on the West Coast. Yeah, just terrible shows. There was Jack Baker out of Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah.
And then, oh my goodness, there's another one, and I'm totally just blanking on it right now on the West Coast. But anyway, what they would do is they would book these shows at all these movie theaters, and in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they wouldn't even care there towards the end who was doing a show. They'd hire a local schmo with no show whatsoever. They'd mail him some cloth with some glow paint dripped all over it. And they'd say, "Hey, man, you got to go to this theater and do this thing." So it was rough. I mean, it was a rough life. And then, of course, playing the bigger cities, guys like Jack Baker and Kara Coom and those guys would actually do their own show. But unfortunately, really, what killed it was it was so profitable at the time. It was so profitable that quality just completely went down the tubes. And I mean, anybody was just doing. They were just doing any old thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's what really kind of killed it.
But some of the greats.
We're trying to bring it back with a little quality, little class, little fast, little beat.
Yeah.
Sean and I have often talked about doing something on stage, but with all those axes and hatchets and stuff like that, we're pretty sure we'd kill each other.
that's what I was saying. Cutting women in two and blood all over the crowd. That's just a Friday night, isn't it, Keith? I mean, my goodness, man. My goodness. No, we don't.
Wait, let me tell you, man. I mean, this is a great way. This is a great way to make $1 million. I mean, you can easily make $1 million doing a spook show today. I mean, all you got to do is start out with about $3 million, and I mean, you're on your way.
Right.
I mean, that's all you got to do, man. It's great.
I don't know why we can't.
You can make 33% profit.
Yeah.
In a lifetime, just by investing $3 million.
See.
The payoff is unbelievable.
We're still waiting for those $50 show sponsors to come in, Keith. But I'll get back to you on that $3 million. Huh? And we had a TV show, man. I can't do it. But you know, I got to see parts of what you did. I got to see your routine that you did with the straitjacket. So you kind of pay tribute to the greats, Blackstone, Houdini. I mean, you got all this in your act, yeah?
Well, you know, the way I've always looked at it, when I grew up, and I'm a pretty young guy now. I'm 33, you know.
Right.
When I grew up, a lot of people in my generation were like Gaga about Copperfield. Okay, yeah. I mean, he was like Magic's God. Whoa, Copperfield,
yeah.
Great.
Hey,
you know, smoke machines, wind blowing there. And my hero was Harry Blackstone Jr.
Yeah.
Who was straight up old school. I mean, here's a guy playing, you know, legitimate theaters in the 90s wearing sequins tux jumpsuits, okay? I mean...
That's what my dad got married in back in the 70s, man.
And this guy, I mean, he just freaking rocked.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, it wasn't about... That was the time that I realized it's not about necessarily being cutting edge, hyper technology, this, that, and the other. It's about having fun.
Yes.
And that dude was 100% fun. Yeah, he was gaudy as hell. He was 100% fun.
Yeah.
Grandparents could bring their kids to that show. The kids friggin' loved it. And on top of that, the grandparents, which I might add, many of them were shocked that they liked it as much as they did. Right. It blew him out of the water. I mean, I know, I saw one of his last tours. I don't know, I want to say 12, 13, something like that. And my parents were taking me. My dad and my stepmom, they were taking me to the Fool Theater he was appearing in. And he was getting towards the bitter end. He was getting some miles on him. And it was, you know, we were like, okay, yeah, we'll take you to see the magic show. Ha, Blackstone, okay, whatever. And I mean, I was pumped because I was a kid. So I go to see this thing. And I could not believe, when we left, my parents were like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Not only does the guy fool you, he's just freaking funny and he's good. You know, he's just entertaining. And that's what it's about, man. I mean, so I draw my inspiration from pretty much every entertainment project I've done from a dick.
That's it.
I have this question for you. Why is it magicians are always on stage, they have all those swords and that they stick into the boxes and can to stab into people, they
easy.
Have axes, they have blades. Not one of them has learned to trim their eyebrows.
Keith does.
not many take a shower either, but that's a whole other story. I don't know what to tell you there.
That's living on the road. What can you do?
Hey, man, magicians always freak me out, Keith, because I'm 37, so we're the same genre type thing. We grew up with the late night horror host. We grew up with all this stuff. We had spooky, big, healthy Elvira. We had Sammy Terry here locally, the cat out in Chicago. Did any of those guys inspire your show, too?
You know, I got to be honest with you, man. I saw a little bit when I was young. I saw a little bit of the ghoul. Who was, you know, Cleveland and Detroit based.
Yeah.
I think it was at Channel 20 back in the day. But that really, really didn't, it really didn't affect me, only because I wasn't as aware of that as I was of the magic scene. And it's cool because now that I've gone to a couple of horror conventions and, the Mad Monster Party brought us down to Charlotte, North Carolina last year. We got to work that with a bunch of crazy guys.
Nice.
And now that I've kind of been introduced to that world, it's really cool because it's a whole new avenue. I'm kind of going back and researching. And there was some really, really, really smart, funny dudes putting that stuff on. And I really wish I did know more. I can't say that was really the straight inspiration for the show. But I dig it. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff out. So I think the ghoul is back on the air, if I heard correctly, at Cleveland, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of them are coming back because, you know, it's kind of like the parachute pants. Sooner or later, they're going to come back. Keith, the parachute pants, and you see everything go in a cycle. Now, it's been, you know, the spook show went out a while back, right? 40s, 50s kind of died out there.
I think if you are waiting for the parachute pants to come back, my friend, you got way more patience than I do. That's
come
all
on,
I can
man.
Say about
my
that.
Sean has a drawer full of them just waiting for them to come back.
I got 1,000 zippers.
I don't know why that doesn't surprise me.
I got 1,000 zippers, baby. I'm just ready to go. Hey, and the Velcro wallets, too. They're coming back, I hear. But,
dang.
The thing about it is that you are resurrecting, sir, a dead art form, and I say art form because it truly is live entertainment. They can't do it. Hollywood can't do it. A lot of people can't do it. It's a lot different, man, because I've felt a little bit of it, not from your aspect, but getting on stage, talking to these people, and performing. I mean, how do you compose? Are you backstage kind of looking in the mirror going, I'm bad, I'm the best, I'm going to go out here and rock it? How do you prepare for the show? Huh?
You know, I can tell you, I think one of the reasons I got into performing is because maybe I'm a glutton for punishment. outside of my actual stage time, I am a shy recluse. I seriously am.
Yeah.
And I think magic for me was always a way that I could maybe kind of open up, you know, and then share a different side that was safe because it was an act.
Right.
If you caught me on a Friday night, you'd be like, hey, what's that crazy guy doing? You know, I'm sure he's out having fun.
Right.
With all the devil babes that drink themselves around him 24/7. No, man, you would find me in my leather chair in my office, straight up geeking out in some, like, old magic book from the early 1900s.
Prank calling the hot chicks that surrounded you on stage. Hey, baby.
Well, hey, I'm gonna need the hot one somewhere, you know?
That's it, man. That's it. Oh, man, so you did this. You were on the road, and you've been on the road. How many years now has the Spook Show been running?
This is, I think we're going into our fifth year-ish, something like that. It gets kind of fuzzy because, I mean, we have a regular season, which is September and October, through the Midwest. And then after that, we've booked a couple of, like, horror conventions, you know, where they bring all the stars out and whatever. Actually, I have an embarrassing, because I know you guys are having one of them on, I think, or a couple of them on soon. I have an embarrassing friggin' admission I gotta make.
Okay.
And that is this. We're working at the, this was at my Mad Monster Party in North Carolina as well. Great convention, by the way. If you guys, I'm not getting paid to say this. I don't even think we can make it this year, but Charlotte, North Carolina, Mad Monster Party, put together by some great folks. Huge convention's great. Anyway, we're down there, and we're doing our show as like a special, like a headline feature thing at night. At the Blake Hotel down there.
Right.
So, after our show, you know, a couple of guys who, like, a lot of people are kind of looking at, they come up, and they're like, hey, man, that was friggin' awesome, that was great, whatever. It was like, oh, thanks, you know, thanks so much, you take the compliment, whatever. So the next day, we're on, like, the trade show floor, where the people are getting autographs and buying really cool, you know, those stuff and whatever. And these couple guys are talking to us, and we're kind of at their table. And I do not watch TV, okay? I honestly don't. It's kind of sick. I have a whole other life outside of this. I actually got a scholarship to law school, so I'm about to be a lawyer, as crazy as that sounds.
Now,
but
that's scary, Keith.
So I don't have a lot of time.
We're probably going to need a lawyer. So,
well, hey, look me up in 1 year and 10 weeks, but who's counting?
That's it.
So I don't have a lot of time outside of my genre anymore now, but beforehand, you know, yeah, I was in all that stuff. So anyway, I was completely out of the loop, and I'm like, people started coming up to me, oh my God, dude, do you know who that is? Like, that's awesome, whatever, they love your stuff. And I'm like, who? And they're like, those are the guys from The Walking Dead.
Huh.
And I'm like, you know, my dumb rears, like, what's that?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I was quickly educated. I wish you would have known which two guys it was, because then I'd feel cooler and brag about it. So maybe you could ask them which one it was. It was two guys that had been killed like 30 times on the show or something as of last year. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. We've gotten some notoriety, and some people are just like, man, it's really cool that you're bringing something that doesn't really exist back, and they're having a good time with it.
Right.
And, you know, if I can expose, my goal, honestly, my goal with this whole thing, take the genre out of it, take the Spook Show, Halloween Horror out of it, if I can expose a young generation of fans to get their butts into a seat of a theater with real human living people on stage, or zombies, I'll have done my job. That's my job. I love film, I love movies, I love TV, it's great. But live entertainment is a dying art form today. So if anybody's listening to this, do me a big favor. If you can't see our show, just go see a show. Go see something live. It's unpredictable. It's exciting. Crap goes wrong and it's hilarious. That's my main goal with this. And by using the genre that we're doing, by using the horror genre that the younger set likes, okay, we're able to expose a different generation that may only be into the video game movie world to something live on stage. And to us, that's what we love to do.
I'm just happy that you said that you were talking about live zombie shows.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. But, you know, Keith, the thing about what you just said, you're bringing these kids back. It's living history is what it is. The live stage acts, the spook show. A lot of people are still doing that. Like, I know some out at the Brown County Cabaret, and Julie and all those folks, they own the Bogstown Cabaret. There's a plug for you guys. Love you guys. But they're trying to bring the live stage show act back, and they're trying to get the kids involved with it. And that's where I was going to come out and try to do this, Keith. But, you know, I started looking at the – I know two magic tricks, and I'm going to tour with you. I know you're going to ask me. I got the zombie ball down pat. Okay, and I got the zombie ball, and I have the a couple card tricks. I got three, actually. Ed Alonzo. I seen Ed Alonzo perform one time, and I thought, that's it. That's what I want to do, mix with Dr. Scream. That's what I want to put together. And then I found out how much it would take to put that together. So, yeah.
It's, you know, man, it's definitely not cheap. I mean, we've sunk a ton into it. Ed Alonzo, by the way, dude, I'll address that. Ed Alonzo rocks.
Yeah.
Seriously. He is probably one of the, and he does his horror kind of thing too, but just his regular show, and our paths have crossed a couple times, but I don't really know him, but he's probably one of the most creative, inventive performers out there today, and he totally rocks. I mean, if you don't know who Ed Alonzo is, YouTube Ed Alonzo, get ready to see some fun crap.
Yeah,
and it's funny, you were talking earlier about your mentors and things like that, and I remember when I was young and working in the theater and things like that, I had a magician mentor named Greg Garrison, and it was amazing to me when you actually had somebody who could teach you the tricks behind everything, how quick and easy it came, and with a little practice, how you kind of mastered these things. And then, sadly, he passed away, and I had no one left to teach me, and how hard it is when you don't have somebody to teach you these things, how hard it really is to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
It makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. And one of the things that really makes me sad, just talking about magic, is that the whole mentor-student relationship, it's really, unfortunately, it's really dying. It's really a thing of the past.
Yes, it is.
And it's something that I really hope that, you know, when I get, I don't think I've done enough yet to really be able to step up and fill that role, but I really hope eventually I can, and I hope I can share that. I had some great, great mentors that really, they don't make it easy, but it's a hell of a lot easier. You know, today, just in magic specifically, the big push is to go out and buy magic tricks and DVDs. You know, I just learned them off of YouTube or whatever. What happens with that is you end up just copying the style and the character of whoever's on the DVD or the trick that you just bought. Well, that's not where the creativity comes in. You know what I'm saying? That's not what really makes you a good performer. Now, emulation, you got to start somewhere, right? Great artists are great copyists. They really are. You know, Picasso said, great artists don't borrow. Great artists steal. Ooh. That being said, you got to have a foundation. And having a mentor relationship can help you build that foundation. You know, for any magic-minded people out there, there's a book. My main two mentors were Ron Bauer, who I talked about, and a guy, Milton Cort. And Milton Cort basically contributed most of the material for the book on coin magic called Bobo's Modern Coin Magic. Yeah. I think it's still in Borders. You can still buy it. This thing kind of came out in the 40s or 50s. And being able to hang out with Cort, who actually knew some vaudeville performers and stuff from way back in the day, it makes all the difference in the world. And when you understand and appreciate the history that they're talking about as well, you become a better performer because you get to see where the heck they're coming from. And that's just, that's so important. It's so important. It's hard to find, though.
Right.
You're right, but it's so important.
Now, yes. Dr. Scream, when you do the blackout scenes, and anybody that doesn't know what a spook show blackout scene is, it's what it says it is. The whole theater goes black. And if you've ever been to a theater, Nathan, I know you have, when the lights go off, you can't see your hand in front of your face. Now, when this happens, traditionally the spook show have the ghosts coming out. They're flying everywhere, and all this amazing stuff's happening. Zombies maybe walking down the aisles. Are you ever afraid for you or your staff's safety, Keith, when this happens?
Yes. We stayed very true to original form as far as how we recreate some of our effects and stuff.
Okay.
But one of the things that we have relied on technology a bit is specifically in the blackout scene. In other words, we can see in the dark. Yeah. We can see what people are doing. We have ways to accomplish via, you know, electronic and computer means to make things happen inside, you know, the audience, inside the seating area, without our actual staff having to necessarily be there as they did in the old days. In the old days, what would happen is you would have these big bamboo fishing poles, okay, with, like, you know, glow-in-the-dark monsters and stuff on them. And the staff would actually run the aisles in the pitch black, waving this stuff around, right, and hope to God they could get back on stage. And a lot of times, yeah, I mean, imagine that. Put yourself in that position. A lot of times, scared people would just start flailing their arms and punching people. They saw something glow, they'd beat the crap out of it.
Right.
And, full contact theater. And,
UFC was invented with the
sprint
show.
For insurance purposes, have had to kind of, you know, not tone down the effect, but we've had to make some significant investments in some technology that can allow us to do what we're going to do and keep everybody safe at the same time.
Now, before we get ready to wrap up for the night, I wanted to ask you this. I know Sean has a question or two left, too, but do you think William Castle killed the spook show or helped keep it alive?
William Castle is my freaking hero. He's my hero. He is my hero. Let me tell you something about William K. Can I get me? I don't. You must have done background research on me or something. Now you're poking all the buttons. William Castle was a guy, a director, okay,
uh-huh,
who was never really given crap to work with. He never was. Nope. He was never given crap to work with from the studios.
Right.
Yet he turned out, per capita, some of the most profitable films that the studios kicked out in that era.
I gotta say, before you go, The Tingler and Mr. Sardonicus, two of my favorite films of all time.
Completely.
You know,
The Tingler's awesome.
Here's a cross-reference take. The girls used to call me that in high school. The Tingler. The Tingler. Don't do it. Don't say it, guys. It's for the good reason.
I hope you didn't have a case of the Zot.
You guys are dirty.
No,
maybe there's a William Castle fan out there that knows what the hell we're talking about. I don't know.
I gotta say, like, William Castle, Sean, the guy that put electronic buzzers in the seat so that during the movie The Tingler,
yeah,
he would shock the viewers. And, you know, it was like the spook show turned technical. It was...
You know what was so genius about this guy? William Castle, the first special effect gimmick films, right? Every film he did had a gimmick to it. His first gimmick was Percepto. Percepto. And Percepto was basically in House on Haunted Hill. When Vincent Price had this big skeleton marionette puppet, the skeleton actually left the movie screen and came into the audience, right? Now, it was hokey as hell, right? It was an inflatable skeleton on a wire, okay? That's all the thing was.
Uh-huh.
But an amazing thing happened. First of all, his publicity that he was doing something funny drove everybody to the theater. Then, what happened was, the second show, all those kids started buying tickets to see it again, and then they started buying candy at the concession stand, because that's where the theater made all their money. The studios made the ticket money. What happened is when the skeleton came out over the audience during the later shows, the audience was pelting the thing with candy, trying to knock it off the wire. So while you would think that this is a terrible, terrible plan, right? The theaters actually loved it, because these little bastards emptied out the concession stand to buy crap to throw at the glowing skeleton.
That's awesome.
The man was a flipping genius, and everybody—he knew what was going to happen. He knew it. The guy was way smart. And if you hadn't read his autobiography, get his autobiography. His daughter recently republished it. It's on Amazon.com. I think it's called "Step Right Up." I'm going to scare the pants off America. Phenomenal read.
I got to check that out, because I tell you, it's getting that time, guys. Dr. Scream, I can't thank you enough, sir, for coming on tonight. You are, sir, the modern day Midnight Madman, and I applaud you. I think it's awesome.
I love hanging out with you guys. Thanks so much. If anybody wants more information about our show, please come check out our website, dude. It's spookshowrevival.com. SpookShowRevival.com. We got a bunch of great swag on there. Come pick up a t-shirt. We got DVDs, old vintage Spook Show trailers and stuff. You know, stop on by, and if we're in the area, check out our schedule. Come check out a show. Make sure you say hi after the show.
And if you have trouble finding it, folks, just go to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter webpage, ghostanddemon.com. Go to our affiliates page, and you'll find Dr. Scream's Spook Show Revival link right there on the page.
That's
all right.
That is it. Keith, thank you so much. We're going to get ready, guys, to close out for the night. This has been your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Special thanks, Demon Hunter.
Special thanks to Midnight Syndicate for putting up with us and letting us play their music on the show.
That's it, guys. Special thanks to Dr. Scream. That's Keith Stickley, guys. Make sure to check out his show. Special thanks, Twang and Round from ReverbNation.com. Hey, from the haunted back roads of America, this has been your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. We'll see you on the other side.
Good night, everybody.